I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. This afternoon, you might be thinking, what's for lunch? Well, dance is the new menu item. Lunch Beat St. Louis is a monthly gathering at noon where a DJ and dance music are the main course. Later, Andrew Warshauer will join us. He's the guy behind this, and he'll explain how it works. Plus, in our monthly Soundbites segment, we're going to hear the story of Kui trans family who left their home country in 1980 and later opened what may very well be St. Louis's first Vietnamese restaurant, My Lee. We begin with the 14th annual St. Louis Filmmakers Showcase. Cinema St. Louis presents the showcase at the Tivoli Sunday through Thursday, showcasing films with local ties. Cinema St. Louis's artistic director, Chris Clark, is here. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Steve.
Good to see you. Are we ready to go?
Yes, absolutely.
Some of these films, and there are almost 100 of them, are going to go on to the St. Louis International Film Festival. Is there a mathematical equation there, or do you just pick what you like?
The staff huddles next Thursday, and decide which gets the thumb up and which gets the not thumb up.
Right. You have that closing party.
Yes.
Is that when
that's
announced?
Hill, annually, Blueberry Hill in the Duck Room. Great, uh-huh. Great fun.
And do you give out other awards, too? Or?
We have juries this year. We have a documentary and narrative jury that will give a number of awards. I usually give goofy trinkets that are somewhere on my cabinet in the office, and that's an annual tradition. We'll see what happens there.
All right. And these films, it's a little bit of everything, right? Documentaries, shorts, feature length.
Yes. In essence, this is a film festival not unlike the Toronto Film Festival, the Sundance Film Festival. But the hook is they're all made, produced, directed locally, or in some cases by expatriates who've escaped our shores to work elsewhere, New York, L.A., Chicago. But the hook is they're all St. Louis connected.
Right, in one way or the other. Well, we have two filmmakers with us. Their movies are in this year's showcase. They're joining us now, Eric Wilkinson and Mike Rolfing. Hi to both of you. Welcome.
Hi, thanks.
So just for some background, what are your St. Louis ties? How do you qualify to be in the filmmaker showcase, Eric?
Well, I'm a resident of the city of St. Louis, and I work in the city of St. Louis at one of our museums, which is what the film was actually created for. So that is...
You can plug it.
Okay. Well, it's impossible to talk about my film without talking about the Missouri History Museum, where I work as a media developer. Mm-hmm. And we created this film as part of our 250 and 250 exhibit, which is the exhibit that we created to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the city of St. Louis. And pretty early on in the development of that exhibit, the director of the exhibitions and research department, my boss essentially, asked me what I thought about creating a film for the end of the exhibit that kind of left people with a view of what St. Louis has become today. So that is the far background to the film.
And you call it a portrait of St. Louis at 250 years.
Yes.
All right, Mike, to you. What's your St. Louis connection there?
I also live in the city. I work downtown. I grew up in Kirkwood. I work at a TV production company downtown. And this movie that I made is the winning entry in the 2014 St. Louis 48-hour film project.
And for the people that don't know, they do that every year, and teams get together and they have 48 hours, I think, to sort of conceive an idea and do everything.
Start to finish.
Right?
Start from scratch. We write, shoot, edit. Only thing you do ahead of time is get locations and people.
Right. So is that connected with Cinema St. Louis, Chris?
We are now the producers of the 40-hour film project. For the first decade, it was managed by KDHX. When they moved down the street on Washington here into their new space, they sort of divested themselves of all their video contests and obligations, and they're concentrating on music.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk specifically about these two gentlemen's films. Before we do that, just briefly, if you would, talk a little bit about what leads up to the showcase itself. How many submissions do you get? Where do they come from? I know they all have local ties, but I know they come from all over. And what's that selection process like?
This has been my baby for a long time. The now closed St. Louis Film Office initiated this event in 2000. The office closed at the end of that year, and we inherited the event after that. Annually, we get about 120 or so submissions from all up and down the line, professionals like Mike and Eric, college students, grade school students, hobbyists, people who just want to make a film. I know you've appeared in a number of them over the years, and you'll be in another one this year with a very unusual occupation, a short comedy called The Regency. It's up to you to disclose what your occupation
is. I'll say a little bit about it. First, let me say it's a film by Daniel James. It's a comedy short, and I play a semi-senile proctologist.
Do you consider that an up-and-coming role?
I think that's all I'm going to say about it, all right?
So we try to fit in as many as we could each year, but they have to have a certain levels of quality, the most important thing is, have they told a good story?
Right.
Anybody has high-definition cameras or phones or things that can make a visual moving picture, but have they told a good story and told it in a cohesive manner? This year we have 94 films in the event, and it's really one of my favorite parts of the year because I know a lot of the people that participate. There's always brand new people that show up every year that I've never heard from before. It's always a lot of fun for us.
All right. Well, let's talk about these two gentlemen's films. And I've seen both of them, and you talk about high quality, and they are, I think. That's my opinion. Eric, let's talk about yours, A Portrait of St. Louis at 250 Years. It runs about 90 minutes.
Yep.
And the whole idea, I guess, is to showcase, I guess, give a flavor of what it's like to live in St. Louis, because the film begins with, we see images. We see images of, like, the bike trails along the riverfront. Goes to some wall climbing, shots of the St. Louis Zoo, other places around town.
Right. It was important from the outset, and the task of creating this film was a little daunting to me in the beginning because we really wanted to do more than just show shots of the city of St. Louis. We really wanted to try to show what it's like to live, work, and play. And you probably noticed this if you weren't hungry when you started watching the film. There's a lot of food stuff in the film, so eating as well. But We really wanted to get in and show the kind of the processes of the things that happen in St. Louis. So you said the film's 90 minutes long, which it is, but it was shot at over 60 locations. So the film is just a series of vignettes about city life in 2014. And with the help of a wonderful intern named Hazel Mullen from Webster University, who actually has a couple of films herself in the showcase, we were able to, over the course of 8 months, shoot at these number of locations and then edit the film into just scenes of people creating things and creating life in the city.
You mentioned food. There's, I think, Gus's Pretzels. Mm-hmm. There's some place where they're making chocolate. There's a lady that's feeding her parrot, Ted Drews, mm-hmm. among other things. Then you go to a wrestling venue. I know that. Right. I've heard of that. I'm not sure where it is.
It's a South Broadway Athletic Club on South Broadway, and it's the local wrestling that's been happening there since the days when it was at the Chase Park Plaza.
And there was one transition that I really liked. You have it looks like the dedication of the new wing of the St. Louis Art Museum.
It is, yes.
The west – I always get that mixed up. Is it east wing or west wing? But the new building at mm-hmm. any rate. And then you go from that to – it's a demolition of some derelict buildings. I thought that contrast was rather striking.
Yeah, we tried to juxtapose a number of things like that. The building that you're talking about is the Couples Warehouse number 7, which there was a – kind of a long, protracted fight to try to save because it's in a up-and-coming area of downtown. It is one of a few remaining of Sam Couples' warehouse buildings. And if you've ever been to Sam Couples' house on SLU's campus, you know that the relationship there. So, just kind of juxtaposing the new with the old, the upcoming with the downfalling.
And then at the very end, it looks like some scenes from the Gay Pride event and then fireworks around the arch.
Right.
4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
So what's really interesting about this, A Portrait of St. Louis at 250 Years, is that there is no dialogue and no narration. So it's sort of funny. When I was watching it, I wanted to pull a clip to share with our audience. And because there is no dialogue or narration, there's really nothing I could pull.
Right.
But the film's excellent, and it keeps your attention the entire time.
Right. The subtitle of the film is A Meditation on the City in 2014. And we really wanted it to be just that, kind of like an old film, back in the turn of the century. They had films that were called City Symphony films, and they were just documents of life in a city. And we really wanted to try to recreate that.
All right, Mike, let's talk about your film, EVT.
Yeah, this again was part of the 40-hour film project, which has been around for a number of years and in St. Louis for, I think, 12. My team's participated in it 10 years now, and for our 10th anniversary, we want to do something kind of special. So I contacted a number of friends and even people I don't know around the country and had them shoot elements of our movie within that time frame. So we shot the bulk of it in St. Louis. It's a horror movie. We drew horror as our genre, not knowing what we were doing ahead of time. We wrote this sort of virtual reality thriller and had people shoot a bunch of landscapes for us around the country. And somehow within those 2 days, it all came together.
Luckily for us, there is some dialogue in yours. So I was able to pull something that we can use. But let's set it up. It begins with this young man who ends up in this waiting room, looks like a medical office of some type. And he's shown into an examination room, and an attendant puts some sort of contraption on his head. It looks like a helmet that's wired with – how would you describe it?
It was – well, it literally was a sock hat with some Ethernet cable coming out of it. That's what we have to do in those 2 days, but the virtual reality experience device.
And the EVT stands for?
Experiential virtual therapy.
So this guy's going in for this – some kind of electronic therapy into his brain.
Right, and we don't really know why, and – something goes wrong.
So they put this on his brain, and I guess there is someone speaking to him through this headset or into his brain, really, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it's sort of reading his mind in a way. Well, let's share that. So this is a young man sitting in the chair. They put this device on his head, and this is what is talking to him.
Hello. And welcome to Experiential Virtual Therapy, where your virtual experience exceeds reality. Relax your mind. I am now taking control of your motor functions. Focus on something rudimentary, something simple. There it is. Now just relax a moment while I look through the information you provided us. I see your name is Ben. You are 18 years old, and happy birthday a few days late. A healthy weight for your age. What are you here for, Ben?
My mom made me.
Well, mother knows best. And are you satisfied with your present reality?
Is anyone?
That's well said. But your reality is especially troubling, isn't it?
Well, my friend just died.
Do you mean the friend that you murdered?
And it goes from there. And the scene, and I don't want to give it away, but I love the ending. He gets in his car with his mom. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Yeah, we always try to have some sort of memorable twist or ending in our 48-hour movies just to have them stick out above the crowd because there's often 60, 70 entries, and so we did something fun at the end.
Mike's film, EVT, is going to screen Monday evening. The program starts at 9:30 at the Tivoli.
Yes.
Eric's film, A Portrait of St. Louis in 250 Years, is going to be Thursday evening, and that set of screenings begins at 7 p.m.
That's correct.
We've got a couple of minutes. Let's mention a few more things. There's a St. Louis native. She lives in New York now. She has two documentary shorts that are going to screen on Monday. Marianne Rothberg, is it?
That's correct. Yeah, former St. Louisan, former Clayton Greyhound, I believe. I always like to put those high school plugs in there. produced these two documentaries in New York. One is called Half Sour, which is about a group of people who make pickles. And the other is a longer 30-minute documentary about a man who's had a locksmith shop doing it old school for a very long time. And it's about the craft of key and lock making.
Well, with almost 100 films, are there one or two others that you might just like to mention?
Don interviewed on St. Louis on the Air earlier this week, Sarah Paulson, with the just riveting and beautiful Elegy to Connie as one, you know, another one of the features. Most of this event is the shorts, though. So they're all kind of grouped into different categories. Your big screen debut this year will be in the comedy show. Mike's film is in the thriller and sci-fi show. So if you have, you know, there's several dramatic shows. There's a little bit of something for everyone.
Well, what's the best advice then, since this is, let's see, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday?
That's correct.
Right? So we're talking about a lot of films. What's the best way for people to sort of wade through all this?
Programs, printed programs are available at the Tivoli Theater now. Also, the entire schedule is on our website at cinemasaintlouis.org.
That's Chris Clark. He's Artistic Director for Cinema St. Louis. And Cinema St. Louis runs Sunday through Thursday at the Tivoli Theater. Go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page for more information about that and links to all that. Mike Rolfing is the director of EVT, and Eric Wilkinson, A Portrait of St. Louis at 250 Years. In just a few seconds, gentlemen, what's it like being a filmmaker in St. Louis?
It's really fun. I enjoy it. It's a small enough town I can get around and find some great people to help out.
Thanks for coming, Mike. What about you, Eric?
Well, it's really great to be able to work at a place like the History Museum and create these things for a living. And we are really excited that we are able to pull this out of the gallery and give it a wider, bigger life.
Well, both your work was excellent, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Thanks. So thank you. Chris Clark, thank you. Good to see you and have a great run.
Thanks for having us.
That's the Filmmaker Showcase, St. Louis Filmmaker Showcase, part of Cinema St. Louis. Coming up next on Cityscape, Lunch Beat. This is St. Louis Public Radio.